Dude.
Yeah.
Dude!
What?
I just had a terrible thought.
Hey, Kyle and Ryan. It's Austin. Just went to the website and saw the Bobby Market is a fat whore picture. And it reminded me of just some little thing that I like to do, and that's crazy groups of people that I've eventually grown to hate so much that I think it's funny. And definitely stupid fucking religious people is like the fucking number one thing. And another big one is the American redneck that's like, the Mexicans are taking our job, English is number one. And like on all their signs and billboards, they use really, really, really bad English. Or, and I don't mean like, oh, they forgot punctuation. Like they totally just fuck up spellings of shit and all kinds of stuff. And I just think that's so goddamn hilarious that they're fighting for English and they don't even fucking take the time to learn to speak it. So I just wanted to know, what stupid fucking irritating group has gotten so bad that you just think it's funny now when you see it? Also, the 15 minute of famers, people that just want to be on reality TV so bad that they'll do fucking anything. That's it.
Thanks, Austin.
Thank you, Austin.
You'll be happy to know that this episode is going to be all about video games.
Yes, it is.
And your voicemail actually kind of ties into what we're going to be talking about, because we're talking about controversial video games. Video games that get people all up in arms and, oh my God, this video game's crazy and it's making my children beat people up and kill them. That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that is a group of people that I find very annoying.
Yeah, they piss me off.
And largely stupid. So, the whole video game controversy thing, I don't know when it started exactly, but I know the first time I was aware of it was with, it was either Mortal Kombat or Doom. I think Mortal Kombat was the first one that I remember.
Yeah, back in the day, yeah.
Because back in the day, Mortal Kombat was the pinnacle of violent video games. And it was on consoles, which made it even worse to parents, because at the time, consoles were for kids. They were kids' games.
Yep.
And when the original Mortal Kombat came out on consoles, there was no rating system. And Nintendo was crazy about censorship, so the game had blood in it. But when it came out on the Super Nintendo and the Genesis version got blood, so the Genesis version became the cool one.
Yep.
The Super Nintendo version turned all the blood white and pretended it was sweat.
Yep.
Which is fucking ridiculous. And eventually Mortal Kombat 2 came out and they actually put the blood in there and everything. But I seem to remember this being what kind of sparked the whole ratings issue. Like, that's when the ESRB came around and started rating everything.
Yeah.
And it was a big deal. Parents were all up in arms. The blood wasn't even realistic. It came from, like, nowhere. You'd hit some guy and there'd just be blood coming out of his shoulder. It just would fly around, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I remember when Mortal Kombat came out, I had a Super Nintendo.
Me too.
I got Mortal Kombat for the Super Nintendo, and my buddy, you know, my neighbor friend, he had it on the Genesis, and he's like, oh man, you got it on the wrong system. Mine has blood. So we'd end up going to his house to play Mortal Kombat.
I think there might have been a Game Genie code you could put in to activate blood, because all it really did was palette swap the blood,
from
white to red. But
I knew about the Game Genie, but I didn't have one for the SNES at the time.
I did, but I didn't have the original Mortal Kombat.
But yeah, the ESRB and the changes that it had to go through.
You started seeing these little black and white boxes on your video games that would say things like K through A for kids through adult and things like that, like teen, T for teen.
Yep.
And the ratings weren't really enforced, and they still mostly aren't. I think technically to buy a mature rated game, you're supposed to be over a certain age. I don't know if it's 18 or what.
17, I believe.
17, is it?
Yeah.
Like R-rated movies.
Yeah.
But I've never... Actually, no, I worked at a GameStop for a little while. Sometimes I would have to say, oh, you can't buy this because it was like a 10-year-old. But for the most part, I didn't give a crap.
Yeah, who gives a shit?
But yeah, Doom was another big one.
Yeah.
Because not only did it have blood and gore and things like that, but it also had satanic imagery.
Yep.
Doom was a very evil game. And yes, I don't remember there being as much public outcry about Doom. And I don't know if that's because I was a kid and I wasn't paying as much attention, or if it was because it was a PC game, so
that's probably it.
It wasn't quite as accessible to kids.
Yeah, when it was on a console, the whole Mortal Kombat thing exploded.
Yeah.
It was in the fucking news stations on television and shit.
Yeah, and just like anything else, parents are always looking to blame something for what makes their kids do bad things. So, playing violent video games makes my kid violent. I've walked out of a movie theater after watching an action movie and felt kind of pumped up, you know, like, like, man, if I got in a fight right now, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
But I've never actually walked out of a violent movie or stopped playing a violent video game and then went out and engaged in violence.
Yeah, and this topic's come up before in the past, like years ago, like a decade and a half ago, you know, and everybody kept debating, you know, is this really, you know, persuading kids to go out there and fucking kill people and be violent? And obviously not. But nobody could really, you know, get down to the grit, knit and grit, and explain why this ultimately really had nothing to do with their actions. And anyone that had that kind of opinion, I didn't think got a real voice. They were silenced, I guess, in a way.
Well, the thing is with video games, the audience for video games has largely grown up along with them. Like back in the day, back in like the 80s, there were adults who would play video games, sure, but they were mostly for kids. That's who was playing them. But then those people who grew up playing video games kept on playing video games. And these days, the biggest audience, I believe, for video games now is people our age.
Yeah, exactly.
Kids still play video games, but they have like their own video games now, like their Naruto games and Spyro the Dragon and that kind of crap. But there are more mature games now because there's a more mature audience for them. So for the most part, back in the day when this really started becoming an issue, the only people who had a voice were the parents. You know, the people playing video games largely were kids.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they didn't really have an audience. They couldn't really say, hey, I like playing Mortal Kombat and I don't want to kill anybody, you know?
Yeah.
And even if they did, nobody's going to listen. But as, like I said, as the audience has matured, as we've grown up and continued to play video games, I think that side of the argument has gotten at least a little bit louder.
Absolutely. Thank God, yeah. And they're really taking it to the extreme these days.
Yeah, Manhunt 2, which came out, what, 2 years ago? Last year? I can't remember.
Last year?
Last year. When it was in development, early on, it got an adults-only rating by the ESRB, which, if you've never heard of the adults-only rating, it's probably because you've never seen an adults-only rated game, because nobody will stock them.
Yep.
There are only a handful of them even in existence, and the only way to get them is through, like, mail order, you know, like, over the internet, that kind of thing.
Yeah, they cannot be sold in retail stores.
Well, they can be, but the retail stores won't do it. Like Walmart won't stock them. Yeah. GameStop won't stock them.
Okay.
Best Buy won't stock them. And Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, when that came out, it was originally rated M. But then they found the hot coffee mod, which if you don't know what that is.
I didn't know what it was. Yeah.
When they programmed the game, they put in this mini game called Hot Coffee. And in the mini game, you pick up women and you go back to their house and they invite you in for coffee. And when you go in for coffee, you end up having sex with them. And it's a sex mini game. Well, they took that out of the game, but the code was left in there. So if you had like a Game Shark or something, you could access it. But that was the only way to get to it. But when somebody found that and it became news and all these people who don't understand how these things work started hearing about it, there was an outrage.
Yeah.
There's sex in this video game. For one thing, the game wasn't for kids to begin with.
God damn.
If you're outraged about a sex minigame in this game, your kid probably shouldn't have been playing Grand Theft Auto to begin with.
And the fucking parent probably bought it in the first place, yeah.
I don't mind if little Jimmy steals cars, bludgeons people to death, runs over hookers, picks up hookers and has sex with them. But if he goes into a house and has consensual sex with a lady in the game, that is where I draw the line.
Oh, fuck.
And you can't even do it without buying an extra disc, the Game Shark disc, so that you can even access the code in the first place. But so when that came out, and because of all the outrage, the ESRB re-rated the game and made it rated AO, adults only. And so they had to recall the game, pull them off all the store shelves. GameStop stopped selling it. You can't trade it in at GameStop anymore if you have the original edition, because they can't resell it because it's adults only now and they don't sell those games. And it was a big to-do, and they had to reissue the game without that code in it, even though you can't get to it unless you buy this other disc, go out and find the code, and very deliberately unlock the game.
And, like, the people fucking bitching about this shit really think their kid can actually do this? The average kid cannot do this fucking shit.
Oh, I don't know about that.
You know, cracking it. Well, I don't know, but they're probably not, the parents out there, the people out there are probably not even aware that you had to do that. And they're just, you know.
That's exactly it. All they know is there's sex in this video game and that drives them crazy. But they don't realize what you have, the lengths you have to go to access it.
Yeah. And it's, you know, the game is for, it was already for a certain audience anyway.
Right. It wasn't for kids to begin with. It was already rated mature.
Like, what else do you want? Like, they regulate who can buy it. Fuck off.
Yeah, you bought it for your kid.
Yeah.
And even if you didn't, if you were upset about it, you probably know your kid has it and you allow them to have it.
I bet you working at GameStop, did you ever get, like, parents coming in, returning fucking video games and saying, I had no idea what this was. This is
once
ridiculous.
In a while. Really? Once in a while, yeah.
I got that shit, yeah.
So if I had, like, an old lady with a little kid come up to the counter and try to buy Grand Theft Auto, I would always tell her, you know this game is rated mature, right? Because we did not like having those people come back in and yell at us.
Yeah.
I had no idea what this was. Why did you sell this to me? Well, for one thing, you're like 70 years old, so you're well over the age. You can buy it, and you're the one who bought it, so that's why I sold it to you, retard. They put those ratings on the box for you, not for the kid.
Yeah, the government has to go through all this fucking trouble because of people like you.
Well, actually, it's a voluntary rating system.
Is it?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
But if you don't participate, then stores won't stock it.
I see. Well, I'm a big dumbass. I did not know that.
And so it's kind of voluntary, but unless you're willing to open your own chain of stores or only sell your game online, then you pretty much have to get it rated.
Okay, so all the big companies are just kind of covering their ass?
Basically, yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. Well, going back to Manhunt 2, the game that was initially going to be banned, or because it was going to be put out as adults only, what the game is...
Yeah, effectively banned.
Yes, it's this game where you play a character and you go around basically just killing people because you have to complete these tasks and they're, you know, in your way. And I don't want to get too deep into it, but the scenes in which you kill these people, like, for example, if you're playing the game, you walk up to the enemy and you hit a button, and if you hold the button long enough, it will kill this person depending on how long you hold the button, in a more gruesome way, like grabbing them by the neck, punching them down on their knees, and shoving a fucking crowbar down their throat or some shit.
Yeah.
Very gruesome shit. Awesome.
So the game was deemed to be too gruesome, too violent, too gory. And the way they actually ended up getting around that was, I believe sometimes maybe they changed what actually happened, but a lot of what they did was they just put filters over everything.
Yeah, I have Manhunt 2 for the Wii, and for anyone that owns that, it's what they ended up doing was putting scratches, animated scratches over the actual scenes of death, of execution. You really can't fucking see any of it.
They basically obscured it with garbage, like scratchy video filters to make it look like fucked up video.
Yeah, what's funny, in the first one, they showed everything. You'd hit a guy in the face with a baseball bat, he'd fall down to his knees, and then you'd take another crack at him and his brain would splatter all over the screen, blood everywhere.
I think the first one went largely unnoticed, and I'm not sure why.
That must be it.
The first one was a violent and creepy fucking game.
Yeah.
Like, if I sat around by myself playing that game in the dark, I mean, I could do it. I'm not a total pussy, but it's kind of creepy.
A lot of people can argue that that game really wasn't scary, but for the average person, like for me, when I play Manhunt alone in the dark, it would really, the people, the developers, the whole team really did their fucking homework to make the atmosphere, everything, the music, it was terrifying.
Another thing about the original Manhunt that we never did this, but because we didn't have a headset, but if you had a headset, you could put the headset on, and there's a guy that talks to you throughout the game.
Yeah.
Gives you directions and that kind of thing. And if you had the headset plugged in and were wearing the headset, everything he said would go through the headset, like he's talking right into your ear.
Yeah, you would really get into this game. Yeah.
It's very atmospheric.
And when they made the second one, they made the executions even more vicious and violent. And
I don't know the whole story behind the second one, but I know the first one, you were like a convict. and they broke you out of jail, or
you were a convict and you were sentenced to life, and not sentenced to life. What am I saying? You were sentenced to death by lethal injection, and this snuff film guy paid off the prison or something to bail you out.
So basically, I guess they didn't break you out of jail, but basically they got you out of jail illegally.
Yeah. So everybody thinks you're dead, and then he puts you in this fucking funhouse, this outdoor world where he'd hire gangs and shit to kill you, and they were on a payroll, and you'd have to get through these worlds, and he would guide you through them because everything was filmed. He had this like funhouse filled with cameras and shit.
It was kind of like making an action movie version of a snuff film.
Yeah.
Like, you're trying to sneak around these guys, but the whole time, the guy that bailed you out is filming the whole thing. There's cameras everywhere, and they're making a movie. And in the end, you're supposed to die or kill a bunch of other people trying to get out.
Yeah, and the more gruesome ways you kill the people, the better score you get at the end. It's kind of like, what was that, Running Man, only less cheesy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, games like that, Manhunt, GTA, always attacked. Some asshole is always out there trying to get this shit banned that has the power.
Like Jack Thompson, lawyer extraordinaire.
Jack Thompson.
Jack Thompson is this douche attorney who has made it his personal mission to take down violent video games and video games with sexual content. Basically anything he doesn't like.
Yeah.
he thinks they're the worst thing on earth and he's going to take them down. I believe he's actually been disbarred, but
I hope so.
He had a lot of goofy mischief in between when he started doing this and when he got disbarred. For example, at one point he got crazy and he put out this letter that he called a modest video game proposal. And in this letter, he outlined a game that he basically dared developers to make. The game was to star a character named Osaki Kim, the father of a high school boy beaten to death with a baseball bat by a 14-year-old gamer who played a game about beating people to death with a bat. So right there, the whole point of the game is to say, you know, it's supposed to be like ironic, I guess, because you're playing a character who is in a violent video game seeking revenge on somebody who played violent video games. So this guy goes out to take revenge because his son was killed by somebody who played violent video games. So the guy, Jack Thompson, goes on further to say that Osaki Kim swears vengeance and he gets baseball bats and other weapons and he goes to New York to kill Paula Eibel, CEO of Take This, the company that made the murder simulator on which his son's killer trained, which that's a parody of Paul Eibler, which was the CEO of Take Two at the time, which was the company that put out Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
So Osaki Kim goes and kills Paula Eibel and her husband and her kids and urinates on their brain stems. Then he goes and he kills the lawyers of Blank Stare, the law firm that defended Take This, with singer Jackson Brown's 1980s hit Lawyers in Love blaring. Kim then destroys high-tech video arcades called GameWorks. Lastly, he goes to E3 on its opening at May 10th, 2006, destroying all video game industry execs in one final monstrously delicious rampage.
Monstrously delicious.
So the whole point of this game, it was Jack Thompson daring video game companies to make this game because he felt that they wouldn't want to because they wouldn't want to make a game that trained kids to kill them, because he sees these things as murder simulators and training exercises that train kids to be violent, which is retarded.
Yeah, it was almost like he was like, you know, I can't beat them, I don't want to join them, so I'll give them this ridiculous proposition. I'm so clever.
And he said that if somebody did this, he would donate $10,000 to the charity of Paul Eibler's choice, the guy from Take Two. So a few people tried to do it. At least one group of people did do it. They made a game called I'm Okay, a murder simulator.
Yeah.
It's actually a pretty fun game. I played it. And it's exactly what he described. You star as Osaki Kim. It's a side-scrolling like shooter game, kind of like Metal Slug. And you go around killing video game executives. You kill Paula Eibel and her family, and you urinate on their brainstems for extra points. And
didn't they go off to kill the attorneys that represented Take-Two as well?
Yeah, that's Blank Stare. Yeah.
Blank Stare.
Yeah, they went, you got to go through this office building killing attorneys. So they made this game, and Jack Thompson said, well, I didn't mean it. That was a joke.
Yeah.
So Then Penny Arcade, if you don't know what Penny Arcade is, it's a big webcomic about video games. But the guys from Penny Arcade donated $10,000 in Jack Thompson's name to a charity. And on the check, they wrote, "For Jack Thompson, because Jack Thompson won't."
Yeah.
And then he went nuts and started accusing them of extortion and harassment.
Oh, what a douche.
Trying to sue him, he called the police and the FBI, and they weren't doing anything. All they did was donate $10,000 in his name, and they didn't ask for anything in return. But he started freaking out, because that's what he does. The man is kind of crazy.
Absolutely.
I don't remember exactly why he got disbarred, but I'm pretty sure he got disbarred, and I have a feeling it had something to do with something crazy he did.
Probably, yeah.
I should have looked that up, but I didn't think about it.
Yeah, this fucker would get... He's so nuts. He would actually go into, like, video game forums and shit and state his case.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, how would you like it if I... There was a video game out there, you know, where...
Oh, well, I know he went to... I know he went to the joystick blog.
Yeah.
And he dared them. He did a similar dare where... He said, or maybe it wasn't a dare, but he said, "How would you like it if somebody made a video game where the point was to kill the staff of Joystick?"
Yeah.
And so they set up a contest. I don't know what the results were.
Joystick.com set up a contest.
Where people would create a game starring the Joystick staff.
Yep.
Where you would kill them.
And they would give them fucking prizes to give a prize to whoever made the best game.
And they provided photos and stuff of the staff so you'd know what they looked like.
Fucking great. Oh, he's, Jack Thompson.
He so doesn't understand what he's dealing with.
He has no idea.
That's the problem with the majority of people who come down on that side of the argument. They don't know. They don't play video games. They have no idea except for what they hear on the news. And usually when video games come up on the news, it's because somebody's going crazy about video games.
Yeah.
Like for a while, the big thing was Mass Effect. Mass Effect is a game for the Xbox 360. And in this game, it's an RPG. Takes place in space, and in this game, if the circumstances are right, there's one scene in there where you can have a lesbian sexual experience.
Yep.
And this was just going crazy in the news, and nobody actually knew what they were talking about because nobody had actually seen the scene because everybody talking about it doesn't play video games, but they were all outraged because there was lesbian sex in this game. And there were reports of it being graphic, like you could see everything, there's lesbian tits all over the place.
Bullshit.
It's absolute garbage. All you see is the two chicks kind of laying down, and you don't even see them actually laying down. You just see that both of their heads kind of move out of the scene as if they're going to lay down, and then you see a hand.
Like on the window, like
and that's
in Titanic.
It. That's it. It's like maybe a 10-second scene, and that's the whole thing.
Ooh.
The only way you could even claim that that's really that bad is if you think sex is... absolutely horrible and no one should ever have it, or if you think that gay sex in particular is absolutely horrible.
Yeah.
And in which case, go fuck yourself. I mean, if you don't want your kids to see that, if you don't want your kids to know that sex exists, that's your thing.
Yeah, good luck with that.
They're gonna see it. You can see worse things on TV, on network television, and on cable you can actually see boobs.
Yeah, I think we as a society have it all wrong. Video game companies are constantly in battle with retards. These parents, can you believe these fucking parents can call themselves moral and just when they go out there with no basis for anything and they go out and attack things like this with no credibility? And I going back to the primitive thing, I think, you know, we could really go about this a lot easier if the companies just released games, you know, online, like an underground thing. You could avoid all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to take, you know, certain things into effect and, you know, regulate them or censor them a little bit or whatnot.
Well, that would cut big time into their profits,
though.
That's
true. But, man, you know, they can, if they want to release, you know, the games that sell in fucking Walmart and Target and whatever, Best Buy, go for it. But if you want to release these games that people craving, the good shit, you know, that us adults want, the violence, they really shouldn't keep putting them out in the public, you know.
Well, no, there's nothing wrong with selling these games at regular places. I mean, they sell R-rated movies at Walmart.
Yeah, they're just constantly under attack.
The big problem, I think, is that people who don't play video games think of video games as a toy for children. And that's all it is.
That's it. to this day.
And if anything comes out that's aimed at adults, they automatically assume it was aimed at children. Yep. So they think that these video game companies are trying to corrupt their children. So when something like Grand Theft Auto comes out, which, like I said, features you stealing cars, running over people, killing police officers,
yep,
engaging in sex with hookers, all kinds of crap like that, that obviously wasn't meant for kids. It has an M rating right on it for mature.
Yeah, they're playing by the rules, you know.
But parents think it's a video game, so it's for kids, and they'll buy it for their kids, and then they get it home, and they're like, what the hell is this? And then they freak out, and they think that the video game companies are trying to corrupt their children.
Yeah.
As if they didn't just go out and buy that game for their kids. And if they'd turned it around, well, for one thing, it's called Grand Theft Auto. I mean, yeah,
that's a good point.
Even if all you did was steal cars, it's obviously not, you know, the epitome of morality.
Yeah.
But if you just turned the box around and read about it, you'd know that this game was not for your little 8-year-old kid. And not only do they have ratings on them,
yeah,
like it says M for mature, but the ratings actually have listed next to them why it's rated that.
Yeah, violence, nudity,
sexual content, nudity, profanity, adult themes, which could be just about anything. But it says right there why you shouldn't buy this for your little retard. You know, a lot of these parents would probably gladly take their kid to see The Passion of the Christ, which is full of graphic violence. Jesus getting beaten to a bloody pulp and whipped and his flesh shredded, his blood everywhere, stabbed.
I can see that, yeah.
But they'd gladly take their kids to see this because it's important that you understand what Jesus went through for your sins.
Yeah.
But it's the same kind of graphic material, and they would gladly show this to their kids. So I'm not sure where, I guess they're drawing the line. I'm not sure where they're drawing the line because the things that happened to Jesus in that movie were immoral. People were engaging in immoral behavior, and it's graphically portrayed on the screen. I guess it's not meant to be portrayed as a glorification of violence, but
yeah,
maybe that's it. I don't know, but if they don't want their kids to see these things, and you know, I mean, the Bible is full of adult themes, mature themes, violence, murder, and sex. I mean, should we ban the Bible?
Yeah.
Or at least ban the usage of the Bible by children? Like, yeah, should children not be allowed to buy copies of the Bible?
Yeah, where do they draw the line?
Well, they draw the line very clearly at the Bible.
Yeah.
Because
the religious code.
Right, it's a religious text. It was delivered to us through man by God. And so it kind of is exempt.
Yeah. I guarantee most of the fucking people out there that have problems with this kind of shit have some kind of religious moral code.
A lot of them do. Not all of them, but a lot of them do.
Because a lot of the arguments are never, never intelligent or
well, like we said
fairly
before,
just.
They never know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
They always get all up in arms about something they heard from a friend of theirs who saw it on the news.
Yep.
You know? Like, they have no idea what they're talking about. But they know that there's violence or sex out there somewhere. And actually, for some reason, sex is worse. If there's sex in a game, you'll hear a lot more uproar about it than you will about the violence. Like, for example, yeah. Grand Theft Auto San Andreas.
Yep.
Originally, there was, you know, some public outcry. But then they went crazy when they found out about the secret sex minigame. The whole game is about
sex.
Murder and theft. But once they found the secret sex minigame, everybody lost their fucking head.
Yeah, what exists in their fucking ideal world? Like, their child grows up and they turn 18 and boom, now they should know about sex. But before that, no!
Yeah.
No sex.
Personally, I mean,
we're
getting off on a little bit of a tangent, but like, I think violence in movies and video games and stuff is fine. And I think sexual content in movies and video games and stuff is fine.
Yeah.
But if I was going to draw the line, like if I had a kid, and there was something that I didn't want my kid to see, it would be the violence.
Yeah.
I think
violence
that's way
worse.
Absolutely. Than the sex. The only reason sex is such a big deal is because we make it such a big deal. Like, if you go out and have sex with somebody, as long as you're doing it right, you'll be fine. As long as you're taking the proper precautions and stuff. But there are no precautions you can take when murdering someone where they don't end up murdered, you know? Like, and I don't think either of those things is going to happen because you saw it happen in a video game or in a movie. But, you know, I mean,
yeah,
the violence is worse and it's more scarring. I mean, sex is something that everybody does. Not everybody engages in violence.
Yeah, I want to make a video game if I could. If I could make a video game, it would be a video game of it would probably take place in the 50s, and there'd be a married couple, and the dad would show up home from work. Hello, honey. Kids are gone. How about a little sex? And they go into the, you know, the bedroom. They have consensual, you know, married sex. And that would be the video game, you know, to fuck your wife.
But push the
but in a
together.
Very proper manner, the right way to have sex. There'd still be an outcry.
No, yeah, they wouldn't like that either. They don't care who it is that's having
it's
sex.
Just, yeah,
it's sex just they don't want their bad. Kids to know about sex.
Fucking nuts.
If you have the internet in your house, your kids know about sex. And honestly, we didn't have the internet when I was a little kid, and I still knew about sex. I mean, you hear this kind of stuff from other kids if nowhere else. You're going to know about sex.
Yeah, shit.
And you know these parents aren't teaching their kids about sex, so everything they know about sex is coming from their friends. Yeah. So they might be misinformed.
Yeah, all the shit you're hiding from your kids, they're definitely going to go elsewhere to figure it out. And chances are it'll be their friends.
These are the same kind of people who don't want sex ed in schools because, I don't know, they don't want their kids to be educated about sex, I guess. I don't really see the downside to sex education. I know some people are crazy and they think birth control is wrong.
Yeah.
If you're having sex and you're on birth control, then I don't know. Somehow that's immoral, I guess, because
just
sex
giving
is
them birth control is bad because that's like giving them the okay.
I guess.
Christ.
And yeah, like condoms. They don't want their kids to know about condoms because once they know about condoms, they know that they can have sex without getting diseases and without getting people pregnant. So then they're going to have all kinds of crazy sex. But the thing is, I don't see the problem with that necessarily if they are using the proper precautions. And they're going to do it eventually anyway. Even if it is in the confines of a marital relationship, they're going to do it eventually anyway.
Yes.
How does it suddenly become okay? I don't get it. It seems like it'd be better if they at least knew how to protect themselves. Even if you are married, if the person you're with has been with someone in the past, and maybe they've been born again since then, you know, and yeah. They've never done it again since then, but they could be carrying something. You could be married, never have sex till you're married, and still catch something.
Yeah. I can't wait till these fucking old people die out, because I'm getting sick of this tradition of people growing up from some era, and they were wild and crazy when they were kids, but by God, when they're parents, you know, they teach their kids not to do all the shit they did as a kid. Don't listen to the music, you know, the rebellious music, and don't have sex, and don't be attracted to girls. But they did all that shit, and it just, generation to generation, it keeps happening. It's like, come on.
Well, they're going to die
out
eventually.
Your fucking
it's just
going to
be slow and gradual.
You need to educate your kids. Tell them what's out there, and tell them, you know, and show them, and yeah.
Well, I mean, think about it. Think about how far we've come just in our lifetimes. Like, I heard shit on regular cable TV the other day.
Yeah.
I heard the word shit.
The word shit.
Just on regular, yep. On like basic cable. I'm not talking about like HBO or something. I heard the word shit.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. We're getting somewhere slowly. Man.
Slowly but surely. Eventually, all the old people are going to die out, and there's going to be some hangers-on, you know, that are young yep. people who have the same mindset, but with each generation, things will get more and more progressive and open.
Yeah.
Just like they always have, you know?
Yeah.
You go back far enough, even the people who were sympathetic to blacks back in the days of segregation and stuff were probably still a little bit racist if you really ask them enough questions. You know, with each generation, things get more open and progressive, and they just keep moving along. And
yeah. Speaking of racism.
Yeah, speaking of racism, Resident Evil 5. If you've heard of Resident Evil 5, you may have heard that it is racist.
Yes.
It's a horrible, evil, racist game because in Resident Evil 5, if you're not familiar with the Resident Evil games, basically, they're games where you fight zombies.
Yeah.
That's really breaking it down. That's what you do. You kill zombies in this game.
To the point.
Well, in Resident Evil 5, the game takes place in Africa. So there's black people in it. And a lot of those black people are zombies.
No way. No way, dude.
And a lot of those black zombies, because they're zombies, act very savage and evil and crazy and try to kill you. And so
you gotta kill them.
So you gotta kill them. So sure, a lot of the game is you killing savage black people. But that's because they're zombies.
And there's a fucking uproar once again.
Because it's racist.
Yep.
It's racist. Because you're killing savage black people. The idea is that because they're being portrayed as savage, it brings up racial stereotypes and there's a history to it. There's a history here, a painful history, and we can't ignore that no matter how much we want to.
And even the people complaining about it, they were still attacking it, but they were like, well, you know, it's not because they're black, because obviously, you know, the game takes place in Africa, but it's just the way they portray blacks. Like they were dragging a white woman into a room to, I don't know, probably rape her.
Right. That sounds racist. Like racism on the part of the person watching it to me, because they're zombies. They're not interested in rape. They dragged her in there to infect her, and they did infect her, and then you have to kill her too.
Well, what's funny is it wasn't a black guy or black guys that dragged her in.
That one wasn't even a black guy. Yeah.
So people attacking this, even though they're, you know,
it's another case of people not knowing what they're talking about.
Yeah. God. Fuck.
And they will say, like, it's not that you can't have, you know, evil black people in a game. Like, it's not like you can't have black villains, and it's not like you can't have black zombies. But then they turn around and say, because of the way the black zombies are portrayed, that portrays black people in a racist light, and so the game is racist. I don't know what they would have liked to have seen different.
Like, yeah, like, the fucking development team even had, you know, blacks on their team. They had no problem with it. They were working on this. And I'm sure there's a lot of blacks out there that will play the game, and they're like, I don't know what they're fucking talking about.
Well, the development team, I don't know specifics, but the game was made in Japan, so there probably weren't a lot of blacks on the team.
Yeah.
But that's another point. See, the game came out of Japan. The game honestly probably wouldn't have been made here because of fears of this kind of reaction.
Yeah.
Because people know that you can't do certain things because people will go nuts.
Yeah.
Like you...
Especially here in America.
You couldn't make a game where all the bad people are black, or at least the majority of them, because that's racist somehow. Even though if it happened in real life, like, it wouldn't be racist because nobody, you know, wrote it.
Yeah.
But it's racist because they're being portrayed as evil. But, like I said, the game came out of Japan, and Japan doesn't have the same racial hang-ups that we do. The Japanese did not make this game because they're like, I hate black people. And people will argue that intent doesn't matter. Like, whether they intended it to be racist or not, it still is.
Oh, Jesus. Well,
how is that possible?
I have no idea.
How does that even make sense? How can I be racist on accident? Like, I'm trying to think of a good example. Okay, like, let's say this isn't racist on accident, but, like, let's say you and I went to a foreign country.
Yeah.
And you don't speak the language, but I do.
Okay.
Okay, and we get separated, and you get approached by a bunch of dudes, and they're talking to you in their language, and you don't know what the hell they're saying, so you try to say something you heard somebody else say, even though you don't know what it means. And it turns out what you heard somebody else say was really fucking offensive.
Yeah.
And so all these guys get pissed off, and I see you over there, and I come running up, and I explain to them what just happened. Like, you don't know he doesn't know what he's saying. He has no idea. He doesn't speak the language. He just heard that in, like, a movie or something.
Yeah. But they're still attacking me.
Yeah. Is it okay for them to continue to attack you? Like,
yeah.
I don't care if he doesn't know what he just said. Like, how is that okay? How is that, like, you know, intent is, of course intent is important. This kind of thing actually comes out of Japan fairly often. Like, if you see a black character in an anime, which doesn't happen all that often, but it does, a lot of times they'll have kind of exaggerated features. Like, they'll have big lips.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, a common feature of racist caricatures. It's not because they're racist. It's because a lot of black people, especially as compared to Asian people, have big lips.
Bigger lips.
It's no big deal. They're cartoon characters, so of course they're going to be kind of a caricature. Have you ever seen an anime character? They don't look Asian.
Yeah.
they're cartoon characters. But somebody who doesn't know the background, doesn't understand it, might see it and go, that's racist. But if you think about it, do you know what, like, I don't even know for sure what I'm talking about. Do you know what a Sambo is?
I have no idea.
Like a doll. Have you ever seen, like, those little dolls? They're supposed to be, like, black people, and they're, like, actually black, like the color black, brown.
Yes.
And they got the big red lips.
Yes, I've seen those.
Well, those come from a time when that was a racist caricature.
Yeah.
And whatever. But the thing itself, the design itself, if it didn't come from that period and, you know, all this background, all this history of hate and prejudice, just as a caricature in and of itself, if we didn't have that background,
yeah,
it's just silly looking.
Yeah.
It's not that big a deal.
There would be no
And that's
uproar.
That's how like the Japanese, for example, see it. To them, it's just like a cartoon character.
Yeah.
It's
silly.
Racist. It's just silly.
Yeah.
I saw a doll at the airport in Japan, actually, that looked like that. It was a plush doll.
Yeah.
And it was a, I don't know if it was meant to be an African person, but it was a black person. It was all black.
Like the color black.
And it had big, round, red lips. And if you tried to sell that in America, everybody would jump up and down. That's racist, racist. But the Japanese are just like, that's kind of a cute doll. And that's all it means to them. You know, a lot of the games we've talked about so far have just been games that people have put out trying to entertain. You know, they're just trying to make a good game. And in the process, they happen to make something that makes people go crazy.
Yep.
But there have been a handful of games, probably more, that have been created with the specific goal in mind of provoking thought and being potentially offensive.
Yeah.
For example, there was a big Space Invaders exhibit thing in Germany, I think last year.
Okay.
And this one French-American artist had this exhibit at the exhibit. I don't know if I'm using the right words. Anyway, he was showing off this thing, and it was a Space Invaders game that he had made. But instead of being regular Space Invaders, the Space Invaders were coming down the screen attacking the Twin Towers. And you had to defend the Twin Towers. And the whole game was controlled by like body movements. I think there was a camera on you or something. So like you'd move your body to move the little turret, and you'd use your arms to like fire.
Okay.
So you're defending the Twin Towers from the Space Invaders.
That's a good thing.
But this made people go crazy again.
No fucking way.
And they pulled it. I believe they pulled it from the exhibit because of people going crazy.
God damn. Just because it had the Twin Towers in it?
Just because it had the Twin Towers in it.
So therefore it's bad?
I mean,
again?
The game wasn't you destroy the Twin Towers.
Yeah, again.
The game was you defend the Twin Towers. And it was actually meant to be kind of an artistic statement because you really can't defend the Twin Towers. You really can't win. They're going to go down regardless. And it was kind of supposed to provoke thought. And, you know, it's kind of a little bit of a, like an art snob kind of a thing when the guy described it. But still, I'm in support of it just because it was in Germany. I don't really know what their freedom of speech laws are. I know they're not allowed to say certain things, but, you know, it's like a freedom of speech issue, you know? Like, even if you are offended, he should be able to put it out there.
Yeah.
And it really, I don't see why you would be offended unless you looked at it and you thought he was making light of the events of 9/11.
Which is probably what most people thought.
Right. They looked at it and they thought he's having a laugh at 9/11, which I have actually done. I have had a laugh at 9/11,
and
I don't feel bad about it. But it gets into this debate of video games as art. Can video games be art? And a lot of people will say no. And I don't understand that.
I don't either.
It's just another medium. It's just like books or TV shows, movies, music. In fact, a video game is, in a lot of ways, all those things wrapped into one.
Yeah, they're all different aspects of creativity.
You've got the visual aspect, which is, depending on the kind of game, it's akin to like drawing or painting or even sculpture when you're talking about like a 3D game. You've got the music. Just about every video game out there has a soundtrack. You've got, with a lot of more modern games, you've got a lot of dialogue. And a lot of it is read, like it's on the screen as text, so that's kind of like reading a book. And you've got a lot of cinematic aspects these days, too, so it's like watching a movie. And on top of all of that, it's interactive, which actually Roger Ebert once talked about video games as art and how he thinks they can't be art. And one of his big points was that they can't be art because they're interactive.
What?
Which is the most asinine thing I've ever heard. If anything, to me, that makes them more artistic because...
Yeah.
The fact that you're interacting with it and not just taking it all in makes you more invested in it and makes it, there's more potential there to get you invested in it and to then deliver whatever message it is you want to deliver.
Yeah. If anything, it provokes more thought because you're interactive, and that's what art is ultimately all about. And a lot of people out there will argue, what is art? And anything that provokes thought is art to me. And there's a lot of bad art out there, but anything that's created is art.
I get really annoyed with people who will speak of the difference between like high art and low art. I get really annoyed. If you've ever you know, turned your nose up at something and then referred to it as low art, you might as well have just come out and yelled, "Hey, everybody, I'm an asshole," because that's what everybody else heard anyway. For example, when I was in art class in school, a lot of times we'd be assigned certain projects, and all I ever wanted to do was, like, paint dragons and robots and ninjas and fucking vampires and shit.
Yeah.
But that was considered low art. That's like comic book art.
Yeah.
Which is low art.
And thus garbage.
That's not art. That's entertainment. That's another one that bothers me. People will say there's a difference between art and entertainment. There might be a difference in motivation, but art, one of the key aspects of art, depending on who you ask, is that it provokes thought or it evokes an emotion in you.
Yes.
Well, last I knew, joy was still an emotion. So if you sit down and play a video game and get joy out of it, how is that not making you feel?
Yeah.
You don't have to feel sad for it to be art, or angry, or melancholy. And you don't have to be disturbed. It can be a good time.
Yeah.
I'm getting off track here again, but I had an art class once in junior high, and the teacher said we had to do still lifes, and we were drawing with pencil. And I had to do a still life of this stupid, like, antique horse harness. Like, the kind of thing you would hitch a plow up to way back in the day.
Yeah, boring.
And it was just sitting in the corner of the room, and I had to draw this stupid horse harness. And I said I didn't want to do it, because I thought it was stupid.
Yeah.
And the teacher said, "No, you have to." So I said, okay. And I did my best. I did quite a nice little rendition of the horse harness. And then when I got done with it, I said to myself, "Fuck this." And so I quickly drew a couple of big googly cartoon eyes on it, and a top hat on the top, a couple of cartoon arms and legs, you know, like the black sticks with white gloves and shoes.
Yeah, yeah.
Gave it a cane, and I turned it in. So it was this nice pencil rendering of a horse harness, but then it had all these cartoon features on it. I got it back, and I got a failing grade.
Oh, no.
And I asked the teacher why, and she very snidely remarked, "It's not still enough." Because it was supposed to be a still life. So I said, okay, fine. She said I could resubmit it. So, okay, I took it, and I drew a little sign, like a post with a sign on it, that said, "Petrified horse harness." And I turned it back in, and I got it back with another failing grade. And I said, well, it can't possibly be that it's not still enough. Because there's no way it's moving if it's petrified.
Yeah.
But she failed me.
Oh, man. Yeah, and going off tangent again, that pisses me off, being in art class and they can sit there as the art teacher and tell you what's art and what's not.
Well, the thing that bothered me about that was, this is the same kind of person who will argue with you about the difference between art and craft. Like, art is this high thing. It's raised up on a pedestal, and it's this thing where you have to be, like, evoking emotion and making people think. But then you turn around and make me draw a horse harness. And you'd have to go to great lengths to make that interesting.
Yeah.
So all you were really making me do was learn the craft of drawing. When I turn around and try to make it my own and make you think, and I know I did.
Yeah.
Because you had to sit there and think to yourself, what am I going to do about this?
Yep.
And she gives it back and fails me.
Oh, man.
If anything, my submission was probably the most artistic by her standards in the entire class, and yeah, I failed.
Fucking hypocrite.
Anyway, like I said, we're getting off track, but I hate art teachers.
Yeah.
They're such dicks. But anyway, back to games as art. One thing that comes up a lot in these kind of arguments, like I saw it, I was reading a lot of comments in some blog posts about this Resident Evil 5 being racist thing. And one thing that comes up a lot is that people on the side of the debate that are like, "It's no big fucking deal, guys. It's not racist. Who cares?" One thing that they will often say is, "It's just a game." But then people on the other side who are claiming it's racist and screaming about it will then say, "Nobody's going to take this seriously as an art form if you just keep saying it's just a game."
Yeah, thus discrediting.
But then those same people are screaming about this game being racist. If they're so concerned about games being art, then they should not be concerned about trying to get games changed because they disagree with them. I mean, you don't go around changing art because you disagree with it.
Yeah.
That's not what you do. But so these people who are offended are saying games are art and should be able to provoke discussion, which is fine. But they're also saying, "This is racist." if you want to discuss the images in it and how they could be construed as racist, that's one thing. But to say, how the fuck can nobody see how this is racist? This is racist! How can you not see it? It's racist! And they'll claim, like, it. They'll talk about the history of the racial imagery. Like, there's a history here and we can't ignore it.
Yeah.
There's a history of white oppression against blacks, and those themes are brought back in this game because the male protagonist is white and he's killing blacks. Well, he could be killing fucking anybody. They're zombies. It really literally could be anybody. They could have set it anywhere. The last game was set in Spain and he killed Spaniards and nobody said shit. But the reason nobody said shit was because people aren't that sensitive about Spaniards. and Spaniards don't have a history of being discriminated against and called savages. So when the Spaniards start acting savage, obviously it's because they're zombies. But for some reason, when the blacks start acting savage, the people who get offended start ignoring the fact that they're zombies and start saying it's because they're black.
Yeah. They go to the extreme lengths of even saying, you know, that it's racist because they're primitive looking and what they're wearing and how they're acting like they're in the game.
There's a part of the game where it's explained that something to do with the virus that's infected them all and made them zombies. Somehow it's made them kind of revert back to their tribal history.
Yeah.
And it kind of makes sense. It kind of doesn't. I think it was partially just because they wanted to have people with spears because they thought that'd be a cool weapon, and people with scary masks because they thought that'd be scary.
And that's the fucking point. Yeah. They like, do you want to portray some place in Africa where they're all, you know, up to date and wearing suits and ties and shit? Yeah, that's terrifying.
Yeah, the game's supposed to be scary. It's the series, in the past at least, it's become more and more of an action game over time, but it's in the past been considered a survival horror game. That's the genre that it's in. It's a horror game.
And they're known
to be terrifying.
Yeah, their series is known to be one of the scariest games out there.
So the whole point is to be scary. So obviously it's not going to be all, you know, rainbows and sunshine and then a couple of zombies here and there. And I mean, there are places in Africa that are fantastic, fully developed, wonderful places with wonderful people. But there are also shitholes in Africa, and that makes makes for a much scarier backdrop.
Yeah, with spears and shit, and they're wearing, like, the tribal masks. That's terrifying. And I think the development team, you know, they took that kind of shit into consideration. They got to make this game scary, and that is scary. Scarier. But anyway, ultimately, games as video games as art. For centuries, art has been at war with powerful establishments, government.
Yeah.
Always, you know, trying to ban, and well, in today's age, manipulate and change art. And for centuries, art has been at war with simple-minded dumb fucks.
Basically.
And for it'll go on forever, as long as they exist.
People see something they don't like, and they want to change it. They want to make it something they do like. They can't take it. And sometimes the stuff that you don't like is the best stuff, even if you don't like it. Like, even the stuff that I don't like could potentially be some of the best stuff because it gets you thinking about something.
Yeah, but then if you flip it around and take the shit that we don't like about them, oh no, not going to happen.
Like, ultimately, with Resident Evil, what I think people should take away from it, from this whole discussion on is it racist, is it not racist, is that intent very much is important. The game isn't racist. There are black zombies, and they're black because they're in Africa. They're not black because black people are evil, and everybody knows that. Like, nobody's even arguing to the contrary, but they see it as insensitive. And what I think people should take away from this is that they're being too sensitive.
They're not thinking deep enough, and they never will. This will be an ongoing battle forever. People don't take from it what it is, and they just kind of smokescreen it with their own mindless bullshit. And people fail to look at something they have a problem with and collectively analyze the means to which they will have justification.
The fact that the race thing is still such a big issue, such a sensitive issue for people, is really kind of sad to me. Because I thought, most of the time, I think we've moved on from that. And I think it would be fantastic if the reaction to this game was just, it's just another game where you're killing zombies.
And it's still art.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, just because it's just another game, what I mean by that isn't it's just a game, get over it, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
What I mean is it's just another game. It could be any game. Not that the content
it is
be
what
any
it
game.
Is.
It is exactly.
Game.
It is what it is. It's a video game, and you're killing black zombies. And the fact that them being black is an issue is really sad to me, because ideally the way people should have reacted to this was just to say, yay, another game where we can kill zombies. But instead, people saw black people and they freaked out. And to me, it's like when black comedians make fun of white people. It doesn't bother me, and I don't know where they're coming from specifically, but I feel like a certain percentage of the population feels like they're striking back.
Yeah.
You know, like this is revenge. That's why it's okay for them to say it and not for us to say it, you know? And if that's the angle you're coming at it from, then you're looking at it all wrong. You're not helping the situation if that's the angle you're coming at it from. If you're looking at somebody saying white people can't dance, and you're like, yeah, stick it to the man, then you're just hindering the situation. We should be able to say we're all people, and we can all be equally infected by zombie viruses.
And make light of everything.
Yeah.
Absolutely everything.
I'm having trouble articulating what I'm trying to say here because I think it's so ridiculous. Like,
once again.
Anyway, I don't see any racism in it. Maybe somebody will disagree with me and comment on it. If you do it intelligently, I promise not to call you a whore. Just, like, read it before you submit it.
Yeah.
That's all I ask. Make sure you finished your sentences.
Yep.
But another good example of a game that was created with an intent to provoke thought and potentially offend would be the Super Columbine Massacre RPG.
Yes.
This was a little indie game. It was made with RPG Maker, which is a program that allows you to make games without actually having to learn to program. You just put in the art and you tell it what to do, but you don't actually have to learn any programming code. I personally kind of hate RPG Maker games, so I've never played this game. But the basic premise of the game is you play as the shooters from the Columbine Massacre.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes through the whole events from the beginning of that day before the shootings and everything happened to when they planted bombs around the school, which actually the bombs, as I understand it, didn't actually go off.
Yeah, like they failed to go off.
They were duds, but I think in the game they might actually go off. But then they go in and you encounter different kinds of students, different like jocks and preppy chicks and
teachers. Yeah, different cliques of people. Yeah.
And you kill them, and eventually you kill yourself just like they did. And then you end up in hell, and you end up meeting various video game characters and fighting enemies from Doom. And anyway, it's a very controversial game.
Because it's Columbine, yeah.
Because it's Columbine.
It's super tragedy, yeah.
Which, it was a super tragedy.
Like, yes.
Columbine, the events at Columbine themselves are no joke, you know.
Yeah.
That's not to say that you can't make jokes about them, because I personally believe you can make jokes about anything.
Yeah.
But the game isn't really meant to be a joke either. The game is meant to kind of make you think. It's meant to present the events of that incident from the perspective of the shooters. And while I don't necessarily think you should sympathize with the shooters, it's important to kind of understand
why
they did it. Why this happened, exactly.
Yes.
More than why they did it, actually why this happened as a whole thing.
Yeah, they did it for a reason, and shit like this happens for a reason. And to just look at it and ignore it and write it off and say, well, it's bad and wrong, that doesn't really help anyone, you know, in society. You have to really look at this and analyze it and take from it what you can so we can advance as a society.
Yeah, and not to say that it was justified at all, because it wasn't. It was a bad and horrible thing that happened. But if you want to make sure it doesn't happen again, you need to understand why it happened in the first place. And they had their reasons. They may have been wrong in what they did, but they had their reasons for doing it.
Yeah, and the guy that made the game, he was bullied in school. He could completely sympathize with these guys.
That's what partly led him to make the game.
He didn't say what they did was right, but he could, you know, he identified with them. And
yeah, he said at one point he saw himself going down the same path that they were going down.
Yeah.
And he made a change in his life. He recognized what he was doing.
That it was the wrong path. And he realized, you know, these thoughts were ridiculous, and he didn't want to just go out and kill everybody. But
high school is a rough time for some people.
Yeah.
I think to a certain extent, I think it's a rough time for everyone. But for certain people, more so than others. I mean, the people who end up getting bullied or even not getting bullied, but just getting ignored, you know, ostracized. Yeah. Nobody wants anything to do with you. And that can be a really rough thing, because in high school, what tends to happen is that everyone you know from school. So yeah. if nobody at school likes you, then nobody likes you.
Yeah.
And that's a fucking horrible place to be. And while that doesn't at all justify killing a bunch of people, it's interesting to think about, how that kind of treatment of other people. You might think, oh, haha, I'm just picking on this kid. But if you and everybody else are picking on this kid and nobody is this kid's friend, then you have to stop and think, like, what are we doing?
Yeah, high school is definitely a critical moment when people, and we all know this, that when, you know, everybody's going through changes and learning about life, and the biggest thing they can really reflect on is their interactions in high school and the relationships, and that's what they reflect on as life. And people are quick to dismiss that kind of shit. Oh, they're in high school, and, you know, they don't know anything. That what goes on in high school really doesn't matter. It's all just kid shit, kids play, child's play, whatever. But it's definitely critical at that point in someone's life. And when you're bullied and people don't like you, it can really, really damage an individual. And they can turn to certain extremes, as bad as, you know, as killing everybody in the school, because they're so fucking fed up and so angry, so depressed, so misunderstood, so in the dark about everything.
Well, the thing about high school is once you're out of high school, especially once you're out of high school for a period of years, you can look back on it and go, that really wasn't such a big fucking deal. But while you're still there, that's your whole fucking world. You know, that's the now, and that's all you know. And so, of course, it's important to you what happens then.
Yeah, basically, it's kind of like prison. You know, your daily routine, you have to go to this certain place and you have to be with these certain people every fucking day, you know, of that time in your life. And it's forced, and that is your life. There is no real outside world unless you create some kind of escape and go into a chat room and find a girlfriend or something.
One of the interesting things about this game is, because it's based on real events, it's coming from a different place than most games. Like, there are a lot of games where you kill people.
Yeah.
But they're usually faceless, nameless people. You know, you're not killing somebody who's real. And in this game, I mean, to a certain extent, they still are nameless, faceless people, because it'll be like a random jock or the janitor or whatever. But because you know that real people were killed and that these little nameless avatars represent real people, it can be, depending on what direction you come at it from, it can be kind of an unpleasant experience. But because that's what the game's all about, you have to do it anyway. It's interesting because most games are meant to be pleasurable. Most games are games. They're meant to be enjoyed.
Yeah.
And this game, if you're coming at it from the right mindset, isn't. It's not meant to be enjoyed.
It's disturbing.
It is a disturbing game. You're going in and you're killing real people, more or less.
Yeah.
And these people's lives have, to a certain extent, been ruined by the events of what you're playing through. I'm looking at the time now, and we're getting to the end of the show here. And there's really a lot more I wanted to say. I feel like we've been kind of rambling here and there, but
there's so much to say on this kind of topic. Yeah, it could go on forever.
We talked about video games, fuckers.
Yeah.
Hopefully you enjoyed it. If you didn't, that'll teach you to ask us for things. Oh, geez.
Yeah, we should wrap it up.
Maybe we'll touch on this again if you did enjoy any of this discussion. If you thought it was boring, then no more video game talk.
Yeah, let us know. Don't forget.
Yeah. We were a little light on comments this past week. I don't know if we've lost some listeners or if just the last episode wasn't that interesting.
Everybody's getting fucking lazy. Stop eating potato chips. Get off your ass and start commenting, you fat, lazy fucks.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, Obviously, it's going to vary from week to week, but we only got three comments this last week. So
isn't that bullshit?
I don't know if people, like I said, I don't know if people have stopped listening or if they didn't like the last episode, didn't have anything to say. I don't know.
Yeah.
But hey, we want your comments, so fucking comment.
Keep them coming.
Oh, and the stickers are on their way.
It's been confirmed.
They shipped out on the 21st, so they should be here very soon. And when they get here, I will set up a page so that you can request them, and you can also just request them by email. But that'll be the easiest way, is just to go to the page where you can request them, and we'll send you some stickers. So do that.
Yes, definitely do that.
I guess that's about it.
That'll do it for this episode. Hope you enjoyed.
Send us an email. You can email me at Kyle@IJustHadATerribleThought.com.
Or Orion@IJustHadATerribleThought.com.
Or you can send us a voicemail at 616-328-5581. Once again, that number is 616-328-5581.
Do it, man. Do it. Don't be a fucking pussy.
Video games are racist.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week.